You're listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audio book club.
Thanks for checking out today's episode of Graphic Novel Explorers Club. I'm one of your hosts, Johnny, joined by...
Comrade Dennis.
And Comrade Francis is in frozen wastelands. Today, we are discussing Superman Red Son by writer Mark Miller and a variety of artists. Too many to mention. We hope you've already read today's title because all three of us read the book, so beware, spoilers ahead. We would love for you to share your opinion and thoughts with us. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GN Explorers Club. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or email us at gnexplorersclub@gmail.com. Graphic Novel Explorers Club is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are available.
So today's episode, we're talking about Superman Red Son, which was actually a limited three-issue series. I think that really fits in really well. Early 2000s, I think it was released.
Yeah, I think 2003.
Yeah.
Is this considered an Elseworld?
Yep.
It's an official definitely. Elseworld story?
Yeah. Earth 30, specifically, if you're following along.
Oh, really?
Various Earths. Yes. The Superman of this world has popped up in various other multidimensional stories, but obviously this is where he came from. The author, Mark Miller?
Yep, Mark Miller of Kick-Ass fame.
Marvel Ultimate,
yeah.
Which was their version of the Avengers.
And he just got a like $100 million deal with Netflix.
What?
Because there's the Millerverse.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like his own.
Right. Kick-Ass.
Yeah, there's Kick-Ass, but then the movies, or the Kingsman.
Oh.
That's his creation.
The Kingsman was his creation,
yeah.
Too? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Netflix brokered a deal with him to basically any independent content that he's created is going to be developed for their stuff.
Well, congratulations, Mark Miller. If you'd like to kick some of that dollars to us,
we don't even need that much. Give us like $100,000.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nothing. That's like 1% of your... Is that 1%?
I don't know.
$100 million?
Regardless, yeah. This is not sponsored by Mark Miller, and any ringing endorsements for this story are not paid by him, sadly.
Yeah.
Anyway, once again, three-issue limited series. I like that. Sometimes I think series go on too long. Sometimes they try to do 52 issues, or they just try to do 12 issues. I think three, nice magic number for this. Good length for the story.
Three is the magic number.
Three is the magic number.
As we learned from Schoolhouse Rock.
So basically, this kind of is a retelling of the Superman origin story. It starts in the 1950s with President Eisenhower announcing that the Soviet Union has announced their secret new weapon, which is a superhuman, who turns out to be Superman.
Yeah, a new Red Menace.
Right, exactly. And so this kicks off a whole different version of the Cold War.
Yeah, where America goes into panic mode. They're like, it basically, Eisenhower is almost like instantly accepts defeat. He's like, we don't have anything.
Right.
Our nuclear weapons won't do any good. Our arms race is no longer good. Lois Lane is kind of recapping too. Come to find out she's married to Lex Luthor in this version. And she's like, the Russians have beaten us into space. They beat us in the nuclear arms race. And now they're beating us on this new front because they have a superhuman.
Right. So the government, along with agent Jimmy Olsen, who's a CIA agent, they contract with Lex Luthor in order to kind of try to basically get America on even keel with the Soviet Union.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the space race.
Right, exactly.
And Luthor is an employee of Star Labs.
Mm-hmm. And then so it seems like what ends up happening is that, was it their plan to have Sputnik crash into Metropolis?
Eventually.
For propaganda reasons, right?
No. So Luthor is now paid by the government to like, hey, you've got to come up with a solution to this. They even say a couple different times the final solution, which is very evil.
Right.
There's no like good guy in this story.
I would concur.
Either government is not good.
Right, for sure.
They both... Well, I mean, I guess you could make that comparison to the real world, but
right.
No, eventually what happens is Luthor gets this genius idea. He's watching a news report and realizes about possibly Superman's origins of or he was in something that crashed on Earth, and he realizes, oh shit, I can use that to our benefit. So he calls up Jimmy, mm-hmm. James Olsen in this version, is like, hey, I need $10 million and I need you guys to crash one of the Russian satellites.
Right.
And at this point, Russia and America are kind of on even playing ground. Eventually, as the story moves along, everybody starts siding with Russia.
Right.
NATO, everyone. Yeah, NATO loses all of their participants to the Warsaw Pact.
Yeah, exactly. It's a role reversal where the Soviet Union is seen as more the benevolent kind of rulers, while the U.S.
I don't think they're seen as benevolent in this story. I think they're, because they now have this unbeatable force, everyone's like, well, we got to go with them. But anyways, getting back to Luther's plan is the U.S. government crashes one of the
Soviet
Sputnik 2. And Superman, at this time, his thing is like, I'm not part, because he's real buddy-buddy with Stalin.
Right.
Or Stalin's trying to be buddies with him. Mm-hmm. And Superman keeps telling Stalin, I'm not part of the political party or in that level.
The Communist Party.
Yeah, I'm part of the party, but I'm not a leader in it. I'm not here to represent anything.
I'm here to save people.
I'm here to help people and serve the people. Because that's what he's been told, is we're here to serve everyone.
Right.
So Sputnik starts crashing towards Metropolis, and Superman, you get a voiceover from him, basically. Mm-hmm. He's narrating the story.
And it seems like he's narrating from the future.
Yeah. And he's like, well, listen, I serve the greater good, even mm-hmm. I feel like the people on the other side are maybe bad. I'm still going to help them. So he flies over, stops the Sputnik from hitting Metropolis, but he kind of shows off a little bit.
Right.
It makes a big scene of it, lets it bounce off of the Daily Planet, crashes it into the ocean. Then
he saves a woman and child, which is an iconic image, actually, where he's holding up the Daily Planet's knocked off globe and basically handing an American child his red balloon that he dropped, which is... I forgot where this is from. I think it's from a comic book cover.
Oh, I don't know. The only one I'm really familiar with is him lifting the car from the first one. But at the same time, he sees Lois Lane, and they instantly have like this connection of attraction. And he goes through explaining how he can hear her heartbeat quickening. Right. He can sense that she's like perspiring more.
And this is where you know that he's narrating from the future, because he says something like, in 1,000 years. Some poet will rewrite this, like they do all the time in anything, and say that there were hypothesizes that if there was like a romance between them, which of course we know is true.
In our world, in this world, there isn't.
Right, exactly.
And so he puts the Daily Planet globe back on top of the building, flies away, and then Luther's plan, and Lex Luthor is somewhat, I might say a good guy, but he's more benevolent.
Well, he's less selfish.
He hasn't gone crazy yet.
Right.
And his plan is, now we've got DNA
from this
Superman on the crashed satellite.
So now we can make some kind of clone.
So, which becomes this reality's version of
Bizarro,
which is one of your favorite characters, right, Dennis?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, so then it cuts back to Russia. I guess Themyscira has sent Wonder Woman as a representative.
And her mom.
Yeah. To meet the Soviet Union.
And the Soviet Union is trying to woo them. Both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Stalin basically is like, hey, to Wonder Woman's mom, is like, hey, why don't you become part of our union? You know, it'll benefit you guys. And the mom's like, well, I'm not sure if we're ready for that.
Right.
We're not going to make a decision if we're going to back you or the United States. And then Stalin's like, well, why don't we go downstairs and talk about this some more? And she's like, no, you couldn't handle it. And you'd have to be 5,000 years older.
Which, to be perfectly honest, like, I always forget why Wonder Woman, because, you know, she's not like Captain America kind of thing, but she does wear U.S. colors. So,
well, she wears red and gold and blue.
But then she wears the white stars on her pants.
Yeah.
So, but in this universe, she's smitten with Superman, which happens in other universes as well. And for a while was actually a big romance line for the main line, where Wonder Woman and Superman had a romance going on.
And that was in that one-off Kingdom Come, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's always implied. And they've had different romances in Earth 3, where they have the evil versions of them. Wonder Woman and Superman actually have a baby. So it's not unusual for them to be a couple.
And Stalin's even like, well, why don't you get with Wonder Woman? She's basically the only one that can handle a Superman fucking.
Yeah.
And Superman even though the other characters aren't aware of this, he's basically inferring, like, I've met the love of my life. I'm not really interested in anybody else.
Which, by the way, we should, I think we totally skipped over the fact that the whole premise of this story is that instead of falling into Kansas.
This is some really important information we left out.
Instead of falling in Kansas because of a shift in time slightly, Superman's spaceship fell in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And so instead of being discovered by Ma and Pa Kent, he was discovered by farmers.
Which you get a brief encounter with Ma Kent. She says, I can't, you know, basically when the Superman is revealed to the world, like, oh, you know, this is the end for America. I'm glad Pa isn't around to see this happen. Superman is basically gently lets Wonder Woman down, but they become friends.
Right, exactly. I think she keeps wanting to push the romance line, but
I think just initially. After that, they just didn't. You know, her point is like, I've never met a person that could do the things I can do.
Right.
You know, this is.
Which is actually the reason why Wonder Woman is smitten with Superman in other tales. It's because he's an equal.
Yeah.
Like, other men aren't as equal. Mm. So then we cut to Superman. He ducks out of the party and goes up to, is it Stalin's son? Is
that his illegitimate son, Pyotr.
Right. And then you find out that Pyotr killed a husband and wife who were putting up anti-Superman propaganda, but left his son, their son alive. And then it's clearly hinted that, he's going to become Batman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not even like subtly.
And I get the impression that they're just common folk. Yeah. They're not like super well off in Russia.
No, they're not doctors.
They're just farmers.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah.
Who knows why they were anti-Superman? But, you know, at this point, Superman's becoming more omnipresent. If you can figure a strong government with someone like Superman, it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Really, if you think about it. So, anyway, he kind of regrets like killing the parents and actually tries to kill himself.
Yeah, he feels really guilty for backing his dad, you know, Joseph
Stalin. Which I was surprised. I thought he would be like, nah, because some of his dialogue seemed like he was totally for all this, but it seemed like he's not really all into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, he tries to kill himself. Superman, I guess.
Fast stops.
Oh, is that what he does?
I thought he grabbed it.
Oh, okay, he grabbed the bullet.
Grabbed the bullet before he could hit Peter in the head.
Yeah, which that was pretty dang close to his head. So for him, that was pretty dang fast. So then it cuts to where Stalin is deathly sick. He's on his deathbed. This is a new thing that I thought was interesting. Go ahead.
This was part of the guilt I think he felt too, was it's implied Pyotr poisoned his dad with cyanide.
Oh, right. Because Superman reads some medical books really fast, which isn't always part of the lore. It's always implied that Superman's smart, but can he like...
See, yeah, that was the impression I got from my knowledge of Superman, that he's not above intelligence.
Right.
Like, he's a smart guy, but he's not like genius level like Bruce Wayne or Lex Luthor.
Otherwise, he would read all the books and know everything instantly, which he doesn't. That's why he relies on Star Labs and everyone else.
Yeah, and smarter people to solve.
Right.
He's just like, I'll bend shit. I'll break through the wall.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have to figure out the
science-y
stuff.
How to
finesse the situation.
And in this one, which I think I've seen in other alternate universes, he's able to basically almost like Neo from Matrix download the knowledge by reading through medical books super fast. So he determines that, it looks like Stalin's been poisoned.
You know what's funny? I've read through a book real fast.
Mm-hmm.
I barely retained anything.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's the thing. He's like, oh, sure, guys, I'll read through this real fast. Brrr. Okay, so what's wrong with him? Oh, geez, I think he's been poisoned.
But he can at least go back to the book really fast as well.
Let me double check.
So he tries to make an antitoxin, but it doesn't work, right? So anyway,
he read it. It doesn't mean he practices medicine.
So Stalin ends up dying. Cut back to America, and Lex Luthor unveils his secret project, which is, as you said, Bizarro. He's not called that per se. In fact,
he doesn't have a name at all.
Yeah. But he's like, he looks grotesque, like Bizarro, like a Frankenstein. He's branded with like an old school U.S. label on his chest.
Yeah, like from like the U.S. railroads, like 1890s kind of look. Which I thought was really cool. A very cool way to like bring Bizarro into this.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Lex is like getting more and more obsessed with bringing down Superman.
Right.
Which parallels, you know, we had talked about this before we started recording, you know, parallels Lex in the main continuity.
Right.
Like, would he, if Superman had never shown up, would Lex Luthor have been more, you know,
stable,
more stable and trying to help, you know, be a benefactor to all of humanity with his success, his intelligence, and his money.
And definitely. And that theme comes into play even at the end when we eventually talk about it, where it just seems like it just became his life obsession.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Which, so, yeah.
Which later down the road leads to him and Lois Lane, their marriage falling apart, right, becoming more of a charade.
Right.
You know, like there's more complications from him being so obsessed.
Which is funny because it seems to be that's how the villains are always. And the women in their lives seem to suffer. I know that's the case with Harley Quinn and Joker, where the Joker is more obsessed with Batman than he is infatuated with loving Harley Quinn.
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't love Harley Quinn. Right. He's an abusive control freak with her.
And then, but he's more into like Batman and maintaining that relationship. And he never really wants to kill Batman because he wants to continue that relationship over and over. So anyway, we cut to the first meeting of the U.S.'s super weapon, which is Bizarro, followed by some nuclear submarine and Superman. They end up battling it out. You see some of Bizarro's weird powers that display themselves.
See, is that kryptonite that comes out of his eyes?
That's that's telescopic X-ray vision.
Oh.
So and he's always had stuff like that. But in this one, I like what they do is it actually has far-reaching effects because, as you know,
it poisons a bunch of people.
Yeah, it poisons the people who are in the submarine. They accidentally launch one of the nuclear missiles. Yeah. And this, I love this because this actually plays into a lot of the good stories I like about Bizarro. So Bizarro and Superman are fighting, but then they clearly see the nuclear missile heading towards Britain. So, and this has happened in a few other stories. In the Super Friends cartoon, they always painted Bizarro as dumb and kind of evil. But in a lot of stories, he's really just kind of misguided.
Well, it's like the Superman cartoon from the 90s.
Right.
He always thought he was doing the right thing, but it wound up usually being more destructive.
Right. He was hoping to do the right thing, but he was so clumsy or didn't really understand things. So he ended up destroying stuff. So this Bizarro clearly sees that this nuclear bomb's going to go off, and he understands on a gut level this will hurt and kill a lot of people. So what he ends up doing is he uses his freeze ray vision because he doesn't have heat ray, so he uses his freeze ray vision, freezes Superman, and then takes the nuclear weapon into space.
Well, and just prior to this too, all the people around them while they're fighting, and people are dying as they fight.
Right.
Superman's narrating this and saying, now the death toll has gone up to 150 people. Now it's up to 300. When they kind of stop fighting for a second and they both notice the nuclear missile flying over, the crowd starts to boo Bizarro and like belittle him. So Bizarro goes up, takes the core up to space and blows up and dies. And Superman's like, you know, he sacrificed himself. Was it because he had some of the good that's in me and him? Mm-hmm. But I think Superman says something that also implies, did he sacrifice himself because he knew what he was? I think he knew he was this abomination.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So he sacrificed himself.
And not a great PR move for the U.S.
Nope.
Because you have this thing, he's not even at least handsome. I know, you know, looks are a lot of things, and you have this monstrosity fighting Superman, who's this
with
handsome guy.
With a U.S. logo.
Right, yeah. Bad PR move.
Which, in turn, pushes a lot of countries to Russia's side, mm-hmm. I think even further from this incident.
Lex Luthor is embarrassed by this whole incident. He ends up killing his entire staff of Star Labs.
He loses it and winds up like, I've messed up. I was embarrassed in front of everybody. I'm leaving. I'm tearing up. I'm destroying all of my documentations. Anything I've done here in Star Labs, shoots everyone, burns everything to the ground, and starts LexCorp.
And then something to do with like him losing to chess, to the duplicate?
Yeah, something like that.
Like this alien creature who is a replicant of Superman, like beat me. Like how could anyone beat me?
Yeah.
Which is classic Lex Luthor. Then it cuts to Superman and he meets their version of Lana Lang.
Lana Langowski's or something like that.
And it's just her talking to him about what he's become.
Superman thinks everything's fine
right
in Russia. And Lana tells him, look, we came down here. There's a celebration for him. That's when he takes off to go stop Bizarro.
Right.
And he thinks, I think I saw or heard Lana in the crowd.
Right.
Then he comes to find out she's there, and she tells him, like, my kids have been starving. We haven't eaten in like 5 days since we were told to come down here. He turns to the bureaucrat that's in charge of this food line and says, hey, make sure she gets fed and her two children get fed right now. I want them taken care of. And then everybody else in line is like, hey, we haven't eaten in weeks. And someone else is like, yeah, we're being told there's not going to be any grain for like months, so we're going to be starving. And Superman, at this point, since Stalin has died, the what do they call them? The Pola Turbo,
right?
Have been like, hey, we want you to now be in charge of Russia, and he's been turning it down. And at this point, seeing how poorly his fellow countrymen and women are doing, he decides, I will rule, and this will end.
Right.
This starvation and the troubles that people are suffering here, I will end.
Which is good and bad, because I think we get a little bit of a time jump.
We do. I think a couple of years go by, and he's now, his costume has changed from something that was similar to the traditional costume to now it's much more of a dictator, Joseph Stalin, Kim Jong-un style, where it's collared, it's buttoned up, he's wearing medals. And
then it seems like there's a history of like the U.S. sending like weird supervillains.
All of his traditional villains, like the Parasite, Metallo.
Coming after him. So they've tried to replicate something to try to defeat him, and they've never been able to take him out.
It's almost like Castro. The CIA tried to assassinate Castro a couple times. And
the problem, though, is that even though there's the Soviet Union is doing a lot better than the U.S. is, also people are becoming brainwashed in the Soviet Union. If you're not falling in line, they're basically implanting these robotic implants that make you basically a slave, a mindless slave, which they revisit this later on. I don't know if you remember it, but they made a comic book series about it, too. But it was called, I think it was called Injustice. Anyway, they made a fighting game by the Mortal Kombat guys.
Oh, that was based off of this comic series?
No, but what happened was in that universe, Joker tricks Superman into killing Lois Lane. So he goes crazy. And so he decides, like, I'm going to kill everyone, you know, supervillains or, like, lobotomize them. He basically rules over America. So a lot of those elements are kind of similar to this.
Oh.
Where I wouldn't say that it was based on it. I would just say
inspired.
Another take where, and it's been talked about before. I mean, even the latest, what is it, Brightburn movie, they talk about, well, you know, Superman's, you know, good, but what if he wasn't? And there's been a comic book series, I forgot what it was called too, where, you know, if this guy's super powerful and no one else can really defeat him, that's great that he's all about the U.S. or all about being good, but if something were to corrupt him or he was to turn the other side, he'd be a horrific monster.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to stop him.
So anyway, Superman's Soviet Union is now basically kind of a really bad...
The world power.
Your world power, super bad dictatorship. Any people who are speaking up against the government are basically brainwashed. And then you cut to this world's Batman, who's basically fighting the propaganda and trying to, you know,
blowing things up.
Right. Being an anarchist, kind of V for Vendetta kind of style. And
that Batman versus Superman Dawn Rising, whatever that DC movie was, they lifted Superman when Batman has that nightmare about the future.
Oh yeah, totally.
They lifted Batman's costume from this because he's got the fur hat with the cowl and
with the bandoliers,
and it's more utilitarian,
right? Totally,
like army military style outfit. Batman kidnaps Pyotr, Stalin's illegitimate son, because now he's the head of the KGB under Peter. We'll call him Peter, and Superman have this sort of friendship, but there's a lot of animosity from Peter. So Batman kidnaps Peter, takes him to his secret lair,
right?
And Peter feigns anger, like, why did you do this? Why are you kidnapping me? You know, Superman's gonna kill you. And he's like, no, Batman says, no, I know you contacted the Americans to get in touch with me, so tell me what's up. What do you want to do?
It's clearly that Peter feels that this isn't right for the government either.
Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman continues to work with Superman. Obviously, the romance.
Damascus has now sided with.
Right. It's
with the Russians.
It's still clear that she's kind of in love with Superman, I think.
See, I just got that they have like a loving friendship.
I think that's how he views it.
Oh.
And then we cut to an interesting part where it looks like Americans are possibly experimenting with aliens, which is heavily implied and later revealed to be the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah. I thought maybe it was going to be John Jones from Mars. Because they say, you know, an alien ship crashed in a... At first, they said an alien ship crashed. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's got to be John Jones.
Right.
But then they're like, the alien died, but he left a ring. And I was like, oh, Green Lantern.
And then the alien's clearly Abin Sur, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
So it's only one ring, but eventually you find out they somehow replicated.
And then in this reality, Nixon was elected mm-hmm. instead of Kennedy, was assassinated mm-hmm. instead of Kennedy. And then Kennedy came to power in the 70s, and he's much more of a corrupt.
Right.
He's the Nixon.
And the U.S. is almost in the midst of like a civil war, right?
It's implied there was a civil war in 86.
Right.
1986. And at this point, the only two... quote unquote free countries or capitalistic countries are America and Venezuela. Mm-hmm. They're the two holdouts.
So Batman manages to kidnap Wonder Woman and basically, you know, calls Superman out for a fight, manages to trap Superman in this kind of red sun environment.
And he got Wonder Woman's lasso away from her and is using it to bind. Batman's using the lasso to bind Wonder Woman so she can't do anything.
And so, once again, like any classic Dark Knight type tale, Batman starts kicking Superman's ass, and Superman's like, what happened here?
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty good. I thought it was a pretty brutal fight.
I like that it's a play on the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, for sure. It's very much, which is funny because, once again, that was on American soil with a weird Reagan-esque dictatorship.
Super, super... pro-America, nationalism, Superman.
So it's basically the same kind of thing, but in the Soviet Union.
And the great thing I love about this is Batman's equipment in this is much more homemade. Mm-hmm. Like his Batarang has like a nut and bolt holding it together in the middle. But yeah, he's kicking Superman's ass for a while, and then he throws him down into a dungeon that's got all this red sun on it, shining in it.
And then Superman begs Wonder Woman to basically break her lasso and save him.
Sacrifice herself to save him.
And so by breaking the lasso, that causes her a humongous amount of pain. And then she grabs the whatever piece of equipment that Batman was using to
generate
the red sun. And she throws it off. And it causes her to, like, I don't know what it had. It aged her or something like that?
Yeah, like it like drained her of all her power. Mm-hmm. It seemed to just completely... That's it. She's no longer able to be Wonder Woman.
Right. And then, but he obviously didn't have any kind of sympathy for her. And I think
it seemed like he was okay. Not like Superman would never ask in the main continuity, mm-hmm. he would never ask someone to sacrifice themselves for him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those are the two downfalls of Superman in this are when he says, okay, yeah, I'll be the leader.
Right.
And then this part, I feel like, is his true
self.
Like, yeah, him betraying who he is.
Right.
Is asking her to sacrifice herself.
Yeah, it is interesting of a comparison to the regular mainstream Superman, where it's almost like, think of the greater good, right? This is a whole communist thing. Like, if I fall, the Soviet Union and everything we've built falls. So, you know, you have to sacrifice yourself, comrade, you know, in order for the greater good to continue. So anyway, Batman ends up killing himself
because he's got a bomb inside him.
Because he's like, I've seen what you've done with people who are, you know, political prisoners.
I will never be one of your bots.
Right, exactly.
And then right before, and by the way, Peter betrayed you.
Exactly. All right, so now Luthor has been... Basically, he's been building his own Green Lantern Corps with Hal Jordan.
Yeah, and at this point, he's told Lois, like, our marriage is over because I have to dedicate all my time to stopping Superman. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? This isn't a reason for it. And he's like, And it's implied they only see each other once a year on their anniversary. And he's like, I don't need to do this anymore. Like, stop bothering me.
Yeah, this isn't a priority, which is like, I don't know. It's very interesting to think how obsessive, like we talked about before, the villains are with their heroes.
And I thought at some point, at this point, Lois Lane is like an elderly woman, or, you know, like she's probably like in her late 50s, early 60s.
For sure.
Her hair is mostly gray. Mm-hmm. And I kept expecting, Superman and her will get together someday.
Right.
And it doesn't ever happen.
It never does.
Yeah.
So we get a little back history of this world's Hal Jordan, Vietnam vet, really kind of a broken man, but also super tough and without fear.
So Kennedy, Jack Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe in this are a couple. And Kennedy says to Lex Luthor, I'm surprised you didn't try and put the ring on, the Green Lantern ring on. And he's like, I did. But it turns out this ring needs a certain type of person. And Hal Jordan is the right person. Jack's like, well, how did you know that? And he's like, well, he was a POW for 4 years.
Right.
And during that 4 years, he mentally built a camp. And so he knew, if it takes 3 days to pour this foundation, he spent 3 days in his mind, in actual time,
right,
building out. So at the end of the 3 years, he killed all of his captors. And like, that's the kind of mental ability you need to harness the ring.
And which they didn't really get into, but somehow they were able to replicate multiple versions of the ring.
Yeah.
So he has like other wingmen.
There's like a Green Lantern
core,
but not the core we're used to.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because normally they're like a police force in space, but somehow they were able to harness technology for their own good.
It's like a bunch of airmen became.
Yeah, which is funny. I do like their costumes, which are basically just pilot costumes, and they're just wearing
the
ring.
With the green armor around
them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so they basically stage an assault on Superman's Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
Superman, at first, almost looks like he's going to lose.
Well, Lex Luthor had told Hal Jordan and the people under him, you have to create boxes within boxes within boxes.
Which it seemed like they did.
But then one guy starts
freaking out.
One guy's the Dan
Hudson.
The Dan Aykroyd of, what was his character in Ghostbusters? Where instead of thinking.
Ray stands. Right.
Instead of thinking nothing, he thinks of the Stay Puft Marshmallow
Man.
This guy's like, well, I can't concentrate on this. I'm thinking about my kids, and then that's
it. Or cartoons.
Yeah. Watching cartoons with my kids.
And then so Superman manages to break free. He kills some of the Green Lantern Corps, but then he quickly
snatches the ring off.
He quickly realizes that the ring are the source of power, so he basically takes the ring off of everyone, leaves them stranded.
I think Hal Jordan's ring was like powering all the other people.
Oh.
Because once he takes that ring off, that's it.
Gotcha.
And then
that makes sense why they were covered in armor. So he was so strong, he basically willed extra rings to kind of sort of exist.
Yeah, to like filter his power out through them, and then they could use it too.
Right.
Like as an amplifier.
But he was the main. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And then I got the impression Superman devoured the ring. It looks like he throws it into his mouth.
To choose it up.
And just choose it up. So means he shit it out later.
But then he says, like, you know, we'll have some people come by and basically
get you acclimated.
Yeah.
Basically, we're going to lobotomize you.
Then that's followed by Wonder Woman's Themyscira. They decide to attack Superman.
Yeah, at the same time.
And then that results, you know, Superman's like, Wonder Woman, you don't want to do this. And he kills her, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think he kills all of them.
Right.
All the Amazonians.
So then this prompts basically is like, well, we have to act. So it's like we have to invade the U.S. But it turns out, it's not very clear how they did it, but somehow Lex Luthor was working with Brainiac, the classic Brainiac that I love, which looks like a skeleton, like a Terminator kind of thing. So initially he was working with Brainiac, but then Superman managed to basically turn him to his side. And so Brainiac was working with Superman and they're invading the U.S. But then double cross, it turns out Brainiac was never like mind wiped or whatever.
He was his own purpose.
Right. And
he was manipulating Superman.
Exactly. And so now Superman.
Well, Luthor shows up.
Right.
Luthor is like, ha, I got you, Superman.
Right.
At this point, Brainiac steals Luther.
Right. Is it going to absorb him and just basically say, well, we're going to mind wipe him now. This is what you should have done years ago. Yeah. I compute like within 14 minutes, he would have convinced you to stop.
No, he would have convinced you. He would have, and within 14 minutes, he would have talked you into committing suicide.
Right.
That's what he says. So Lex Luthor is now trapped inside of Brainiac, but it turns out that was Lex Luthor's plan all along.
Right.
And he shuts Brainiac down.
Right. He basically pulls wires or whatever and shuts him down. But then Brainiac, in true like Predator fashion, has a last minute self-destruct sequence. Lex Luthor manages to get out. Superman realizes this is, you know, this is what he has to do. So he takes, a la, actually parallel to Bizarro, he takes Brainiac's skull spaceship and takes it into space. And that's where it explodes.
And Luthor tells him, like, you're not going to be fast enough. This thing powered by three black holes.
Right.
You're not going to be fast enough to, this is like, you got to get 1,500 million miles away.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be fast enough to do this. And Superman sacrifices himself. Turns out he really didn't.
Right.
The story moves along. Russia falls into chaos with Superman gone.
Right.
America, during this whole entire time, once we find out Luther and Jimmy Olsen had been voted president and vice president,
right.
America started to actually come out of its malaise
right.
and the trouble and became really prosperous. Everyone falls into suit with Superman or with America under...
Well, Luthor takes like some of Superman's ideas, some of Brainiac's ideas, melds it with his and creates this Lutherism or something like that.
Yeah, it basically solves famine. There's no more
world problems.
Yeah, there's no more poverty. Human existence, our lives extend out hundreds of years now.
Yeah, I think by the time Luthor dies, he's over 1,000 years old.
At his funeral, Lois Lane almost recognizes Superman. It turns out Superman's there in his Clark Kent.
Which he never outfit. Was Clark
yeah,
Kent.
He never had a secret identity.
Right, right, exactly.
It was just a hidden identity.
Right, exactly.
Nobody other than Lana, nobody knew who Superman really, where he was from or who he really was. And it's a good play on the old, well, why wouldn't Lois figure out who the fuck Superman is? And he even says it. He's like, I really thought she figured out who I was. I mean, she's a genius Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. There's no way she didn't see through this costume. And he's like, well, it turned out she did. It turns out she didn't realize who I was.
One of my favorite parts of this scene is that, you know, Luther's on his deathbed and they ask him, well, what's your greatest accomplishment? I mean, this is like you said, as your recap, he solved world peace, cancer, humans
extended
are,
human existence.
Whole set of things that you could be proud of.
And basically evolved human beings to the next level.
Right. And his most proud moment and his dying breath is, I beat that alien.
I killed that alien.
Right.
I killed the alien. So he dies. And I don't know, is Superman still alive? Does Superman ever die in this? Because what happens is...
It's unsure if he... dies or he dies in the future, but obviously he was there when
the story ends.
When the story ends, and he's still looking pretty good when humans are still 1,000 years old.
Because come to find out, Lois and Lex wind up having kids.
Right.
They have kids, and the name starts to tweak. Now they're
just like, you know, when you have immigrants.
Yeah.
They change it.
Well, just
slightly.
As you know, as the name starts to change, as you know,
right.
as humans, as your lines
right.
continue, sometimes things warp and change. So the Lex name starts to, or Luther name starts to tweak, and then it's L apostrophe T H R, and it tweaks more and tweaks more, and eventually he's like
just
50
L.
generations removed. His last lineage is Jor-L,
right?
J-O-R
which is
L.
Then this is becoming mind blowing because. Then it cuts to future Earth. The Earth is in danger. You cut to a classic Jor-El from like the 1930s comic, 1950s comic. And the Earth is dying. No one believes them. So they decide to send their only son to the past where he'll be super strong and be able to survive.
Yeah, she's like, humans weren't evolved as we were. They weren't as smart. They weren't as strong.
Right.
They didn't live as long as us. And his dad's like, yes, but he'll be incredibly strong and he'll be almost indestructible.
Right.
And
then they send him off, and it turns out it closes the loop where
crashes in the Ukraine.
Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
So basically, Superman all along was a descendant of Lex Luthor,
which was an amazing
Lois Lane.
I don't know how Mark Miller.
That's a mind blowing ending. I don't think it's a cop out at all. I think it was.
No, I don't think it was all.
I think it was amazing.
Have some people said that's a cop out?
No, I could see how some people would think, like, oh.
No, you know. When I read that, I was like, what the fuck?
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the fact that it's basically a loop that in this world, Superman didn't come from Krypton. He came from Earth. He's an Earthling. He's not an alien, which is ironic.
Or it was called Krypton way in the future.
Right.
You know.
And the irony is that Lex Luthor hated his own descendant.
Lineage.
Right.
Yeah.
And hated his own descendant. And he was beat by someone who was from his own genetics.
Yeah.
And that Superman wasn't an alien. He was just from the future.
Yeah.
So it was kind of funny.
No, it was a great reveal. It was a great way to close out the story. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it. I like
that. I'm curious if Superman died in that timeline, you know, when the sun, at that point, the sun was red, so he would have been just a regular person.
That's true.
Because that's what he says, like, you know,
that's
sun.
He would have been depowered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if he died when that future.
Maybe he died with that Earth.
Earth Krypton. Krypton exploded. He died at that time, too.
You notice that Kryptonite never makes.
That's what I thought. Maybe when they punched, when Bizarro got punched in the green shot, I was like, I didn't realize that was like
the telescopic,
a toxic,
right.
You know,
X-ray.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So no, it was a great story. I read this a long time ago, probably back when it was published, like 2004, 2005, somewhere around that time. And I forgot a lot of the details. The only thing that I remember was the ending, that you know, it turned out he got sent back to his own planet. But I didn't even really remember the specifics of it. Like, he was a descendant of Luthor.
And I liked, overall, I'll say, conclusion, I love the story, love Elseworlds.
I love the art. They
art's
did
great.
Such a good job of, like, folding Russian propaganda from the 50s, from like the 40s to, like, the 60s, just folding that look.
And I felt like, yeah, that's how the Green Lantern Corps would go if the U.S. had its hand in making it.
Yeah.
You know? And everything about it I loved.
The take on Batman,
just the alternate takes on the different origins of everyone. I did like that it was ambiguous in terms of who was a good guy. I was afraid it was gonna be like, oh well, he's Soviet Union, so he's all bad.
Or I thought he'll see the light of day some point and
side with the US.
Well, not side with the US, but like make like
Soviet Union more
elections,
democratic.
And yeah, like that would come into play at some point, but no, he was just like him in the main timeline where he's such a freedom, you know, and justice and, you know, the American way of life. It's like, well, he followed it just as closely, but
exactly.
With communism.
Exactly. And I like that, you know, he did realize, like, for his thing is like, well, we need to brainwash people basically to get them to work for us. So it was interesting take, and I liked it. And it's not as evil as like the we talked about the Injustice world and video game. It's
no,
not
you
as
see,
evil.
You see his reasoning.
Yeah.
And Mark Miller does a great job of applying American reasoning to the Russian version of himself,
especially that Cold War era reasoning. So I thought amazing story.
Yeah, it's a great story. Has DC made this into a cartoon yet?
Funny you say that. I think there is talk that they want to make this one into one of their next big cartoons.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting because, I mean, you and I, Johnny, we grew up Cold War era.
Yeah.
For a lot of kids, when they're watching stuff like Stranger Things, I wonder if it's so removed.
One thing they haven't done in Stranger Things that we used to do up until, I think I was maybe in the fourth or fifth grade, was the air raid drills.
Oh, yeah.
So they would, your teacher, could you imagine doing this shit nowadays? Your teacher would say, air raid kids, air raids, and we would have to hide under our desks pretending that we were being bombed.
Although they do active shooters now, so.
Well, yeah, which is much more realistic happening than that. Yeah, it was a good take on a lot of things. One of the things I really liked in there was how, I forget the specifics of it, but I think it's Lex talking to Lois where this big plan of mine works. Mm. You could finally write your headline, The Death of Superman, which is what she had written, you know, that's like a big headline attached to Lois Lane forever from the Death of Superman storyline.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice little Easter eggs in there.
Yeah, little things hidden there. There's a lot of good stuff like that.
Yeah, Mark Miller definitely did his homework.
Completely off topic, but somewhat with this. Out of all the people that are like, have influenced comics in this modern era, mm-hmm. Brian Michael Bendis, Mark Miller, mm-hmm. Frank Miller to a degree, who's Alan Moore. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite out of all those creators?
That's a tough one. Like, I think Moore. I think I like Moore's take on a lot of things and just the mood he kind of sets.
Yeah.
How about you?
See, I haven't read a lot of the Capes and Cowls stuff. I'm not as knowledgeable as that. Like a lot of Brian Michael Bendis's work.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I'm really familiar with are those two shitty books we read in the first season.
Well, I mean, he shaped a lot. I mean, the MCU owes a lot to him.
Yeah.
I think they
even thanked him in the most recent Spider-Man movie. I think there's
Spider-Verse for sure. He created Miles Morales.
Yeah, either that one or the Far From Home. I think there was a specific thank you to him in the credits. But yeah, Alan Moore. I love his writing.
Yeah.
Outside of the one Joker origin story,
right,
which is problematic at times. I don't think it's as. I know it's held.
High.
I just don't have the same appreciation for a lot of people. I think it's really problematic. But like top 10, I don't know if you've ever read any of the top 10 comics is it Metro City?
Oh, I've never read that one.
The one where everyone's a superhero.
Right.
That storyline is so fucking good and things come out of left field and they don't feel forced. You're just like, the fuck did you come up with this? Or the Extraordinary League of Gentlemen.
Right.
It's got a little convoluted for me as the stories have gone on. It's a lot harder for me to get in. But those two first books are phenomenal.
Well, and it takes such classic characters and...
tweaks them.
Right.
Like to put all Alan Quartermain and
really, they are the original superheroes.
Yeah. Yeah. They were the Victorian era superheroes.
Right, exactly.
So. Well, where can people follow the comic book or follow the podcast?
My comic book's coming out, never. But you can follow the podcast on Insta and Twitter at Gene Explorers Club.
Cool. And
how about you, Johnny?
People don't need to follow me. That's fine. They don't need to follow me. I think this is it for our summer special. Thanks for everyone that was that checked it out. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you soon.
Das Vidanya.